July 27th. Within our mandate, the ECB is willing to do whatever it takes to preserve the euro, and believe me, it will be enough. So said Mario Draghi early yesterday morning, and with that statement, European equity markets soared with a like movement here at home. Indeed, as stated in yesterday's verbal strategy comments, the S&P pre-opening futures were down about 7 points when I came in at 5:30 a.m., and that was prior to Mario Draghi's statement, but quickly lifted some 17 points after that statement for an early morning swing of an eye-popping 24 points prior to the opening. And while everyone was focused on Mario Draghi, my thoughts centered on next week's FOMC meeting, for I think, despite what Fisher said on CNBC this morning, I think some of yesterday's market message was that the Federal Reserve is likely going to make a policy announcement next week and provide more liquidity for our economic system. Now, given the dysfunctionality on Capitol Hill currently, it appears that Mr. Bernanke is the only person who can make something happen, and next week is the logical time frame. As stated in yesterday's comments, just like the Supreme Court did not want to be viewed as too political, which is probably why Chief Justice Roberts switched sides at the last minute, the Federal Reserve doesn't want to be viewed as too political either. And if the Fed waits until September, roughly 1.5 months before the election, it becomes pretty clear that it would get cast in the same light as being too political. So my sense is next week you're going to see a policy move by the Fed. Whether that anticipated move is to stop paying interest on the reserves that the nation's banks park with the Fed, whether it's some kind of twist on QE3, or targeting GDP growth is unknowable, but in my opinion, I think there's going to be some kind of policy move. Just listen to these headlines. July 25th, Wall Street Journal, Fed moves closer to new action. July 25th, New York Times, fragile economy said to push Fed to weigh action. July 23rd, the Financial Times, bleak job outlook raises heat on Fed. July 9th, Financial Times, the Fed should embark on QE3 at his next meeting. Moreover, this year, there have been 224 stimulative policies announced globally. Here are the last three. July 25th, France to increase incentives on green vehicles. July 26th, China's Changsha targets $130 billion worth of stimulus. And July 26th, Philippines cut rates 25 basis points to a record low. Given all of that, while one day does not a trend make, hopefully over the next few weeks, the investing world will change its view from the glass being half empty to the glass being half full. Certainly up until yesterday, investor sentiment was just plain awful, with hedge fund managers just 44% invested, which was an investment commitment, get this, below where they were at last August 8th's emotional low. The retail investors are on track to pull another $5 billion out of equity-centric mutual funds this month, bringing the year-to-date outflow to $37 billion, the second biggest outflow since 2008. And last week, the stock exchange volume was just 9.8 billion shares versus the seven-year average of 13.1 billion. Given all of that, the question thus becomes, if Fed action occurs next week, if that's in the cards, will it give the equity markets enough oomph to finally break out above the 1360-1366 level? And quite frankly, I still don't know, because while yesterday was a big gain on heavy volume, it was eerily similar to the 277-point pop of June 29th, which only lasted about 1.5 to 2 days. And like the June 29th Dow Wow, yesterday did not qualify as a 90% upside day, with upside volume coming in at 86%. So there still wasn't the kind of intense buying that you would like to see with a liftoff. Moreover, while there was strong upside money flow in the first hour of trading yesterday, that strong money flow waned during the balance of the session. So while I am hopeful I am still not convinced this is the start of a whole new upleg that will finally break the S&P out above that 1360-1366 level with a decisive and sustained move. Given that stance, I continue to think the conservative strategy is to peck away at those non-stock market correlated dividend paying names so often mentioned in these comments. Strong buy rated Rainier Timberlands is a good example, which reported a great quarter yesterday, causing our fundamental analyst Colin Mings to write, Rainier reported second quarter earnings of 54 cents a share, up 20%, and ahead of our 47 cents a share estimate. Overall core operating results were generally in line with our forecast, with strong operations from the Performance Fiber division. Importantly, Performance Fiber's operating income climbed 18% year over year. Earlier this week, he concludes, Rainier announced a 10% increase in its quarterly dividend. He reiterates his strong buy rating. In his view, Rainier shares currently offer one of the most compelling risk-reward profiles in our REIT coverage universe. And that leaves the call for today. Well, I just heard CNBC's Becky Quick ask a guest, so how do you trade this market? His response was, you don't. And I agree. As for this morning's economic numbers, headline figures pretty much in line with expectations. Consumer spending slowed a little. Business fixed investment not really all that strong. But the headline number of 1.5%, I guess, was a touch better. And that has left the S&P futures up about 6 points as I speak and still leaves me, regrettably, in a cautious mode.
There is no assurance any of the trends mentioned will continue in the future. Investors should consider the investment objectives, risks, and charges and expenses of mutual funds carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about this investment. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor and should be read carefully before investing. Investments are subject to risks that will affect their value, including political, regulatory, market, and economic risks. Investors may realize a profit or loss.